please go to the Word Radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're speaking on Father's Day, and we're in various passages. We trust you'll have your Bible open, and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Galatians 2, the Bible says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we Jews have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Jesus. Not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So again, justification. How are we justified? By the faith that He established. It's a body of truth that He has bequeathed to us. He has given us something very deep, very profound, and very endearing and ennobling. If you would realize how much Jesus loved you personally, it would blow your mind. I mean, we don't get our minds around it because we're down here. It's kind of like the thing we're familiar with, you know. We're familiar with some things and we don't notice them anymore. One day I was driving along with my wife and she was driving and I was sitting in the passenger side. And I noticed, I drive this road all the time, but I saw something off to the right. I thought, man, that's pretty, has that been there forever? She says, yeah, that's been there forever. I'm like, I never see it because it's just familiar to me. But what I want you to know is that what Jesus did was amazing. If you understand the doctrine of justification, and then you understand the doctrine of hellfire and brimstone forever for the lost, that'll blow your hair back a little bit, won't it? And then you begin to realize what He actually did. He reached into the fire. And He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Faith. The faith of Jesus Christ. Doctrine. And we need to understand that it's important. And so when you see Him saying in these two passages about justified by faith through our Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. And then you see Him saying we're justified not by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, by that which He gave to us. It's pretty profound to realize that the reality of the gift of God being eternal life through Jesus Christ begins to take on a little sinew and a little bit of skin, and you begin to say, wow, this is pretty amazing. But it is James who picks up the theme of justification in his teaching. And he says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith alone. And you say, well, why would he say that? I just threw a monkey wrench in my works. No. What he's saying is there's a justification before God and there's a justification before man. And when you gather what Hebrews talks about, by faith the elders obtained a good report in their generation, we are to be obtaining a good report in our generation. You see what I'm saying? And so when James is talking to people who say, I have faith, but I don't have works, he says, that doesn't make sense. Look at Abraham. Abraham had already believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness, but the Bible says he was justified before you and me when he went to offer up his son Isaac. We saw what God saw. God already saw it. God knew who Abraham was and He knew what Abraham was going to go through. And then He points to Rahab. And Rahab was one who also was justified by works, not saved by works. She already had faith. She hid the spies. She showed them out another way. She had the audacity to say, please, when you destroy the city, remember me. I mean, she already had the knowledge and the faith, but now by her actions and by what she did and doing all of this angling to get her own family saved, she showed herself to be a legitimate, true-born child of God. And so it was just something that had to take on sinew and skin. And you do too. That's what I'm saying. You're justified by faith having peace with God, but now you need to be incorporating the kind of works that would be before your children. See what it said? Walk a little straighter. Just every time you turn around. Don't ever just plateau and say, well, I go to church and I do this. That all becomes just like what I was mentioning a moment ago. Something very familiar to the kids. They need to see you do something crazy for Jesus once in a while. They need to see that. It can't be the run-of-the-mill list. You got to go a little further than that. And you got to just do it for their sake. They need to see you serving, maybe fixing something for somebody, doing it for the sake of Christ, giving out a tract or whatever. The Bible tells us also in Hebrews in chapter 11 in verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to him must believe that he is, a doctrine that God exists, and that he is a rewarder of them who seek him. You know, we do that every day in our lives if we know him at all. Somehow, down in our core, we're thinking, where's God today? It could be in the traffic lights. It could be in the parking place. It could be in the struggle, right? Sometimes you're struggling and you're thinking, I need to have patience here. God is at work in the believer all the time. Sometimes it's good to tell your kids what you're dealing with or what you're thinking. Say it out loud. They're riding shotgun with you to the high school game or whatever, or to the store. Tell them what you're thinking. You know, they hear you when you talk about sports. They hear you when you talk about fixing something. They'll hear you when you talk about what you're thinking with regard to the things of God in your heart. It is in 2 Samuel where David was dancing before the Lord. You remember how he danced before the Lord, the Ark of the Covenant is coming into the city? I find that a remarkable story in its own right, because the Bible says after a long period of exasperation for David, he finally gets the green light to take the ark into the city. And as it comes into the city, he's out dancing in a jester fashion, meaning down to the basics of dress, where he's probably got his loins girt up, perhaps his shirt off. He's dancing like the jester in front of the ark. And when he does this, his wife looks down and she is miffed. And he walks in, she says, "Oh, how glorious is the king today. Boy, did you make a spectacle of yourself." Well, the Bible says in following up that accusation from his wife, when he's coming in on a spiritual high, if you will, he's excited. The ark's here. I've had a good time. And he was honored by all of the citizenry. They all saw him for what he was, because he had literally gotten down to the basics of who he was in front of them. And he says this. It says, "And David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord and over Israel. Therefore, I will play before the Lord." You ever played before the Lord? Sometimes singing. You know, the Bible says, be filled with the Spirit singing. I wonder, Dad, have you ever broken into song? Ever broken into song? You say, "I can't sing." I don't care. Sing anyway. That's even more funny. If you can't sing, sing anyway. And sing to Jesus. Go ahead and belt one out. Isn't that what the Bible said? Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Isn't that what a drunken man does? He doesn't care whether anybody's listening or not. In fact, he hopes they are. And you ought to hope they are. Play before the Lord. He says, "Therefore, I will play before the Lord, and I will be more vile than this." I'll have you know, he said to his wife. He says, "I will be more vile than this and will be base in my own self and in my own sight." Understand. "Oh, wretched man that I am." David understood that. "I will be base in my own sight." And he said, "And of the maidservants which you have spoken of them shall I be held in honor." Isn't that a neat thing? That's a neat story about a real guy who really loved God and who really broke forth in song. And at this point, he's just saying, "I don't care what anybody thinks. I love Jesus. I love Jesus." And we need to be that kind of people. And we've gotten to the place where we think it's going to be frowned upon. Rain on that. Who cares? If you go to work in the morning and you can't sing a song out loud, hum. Whistle while you come into job at work. People freak out when an old guy walks in whistling. I can testify to that. Walk in whistling. What are you whistling? Or that's an interesting... They sometimes say, "No, my point is they just let it come out. If it's in there, let it come out. If it's not in there, get on your knees till it is in there." Because when you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to sing and make melody in your heart. Listen, unto the Lord. You're going to sing to the one who loves you. And you're going to sing of the one you love. And I just want you to know that it's okay. Especially to do that before your children. 1 Samuel in chapter 2 and verse 30, the Bible says, and this is the Lord talking to Eli. Remember Eli? He messed up, right? He didn't teach his kids. And so the Lord sent a message to Eli. He says, "Wherefore, the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house, Eli, and thy house of thy father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor. And them that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. He didn't say he was lost. He just says, you know, I'm not going to be there. I'm not going to give my angels charge over you. I'm not going to have your back on certain things. And you know, his two sons died in a day. And he, when he got the news, was a heavy man, and he fell over backwards and died when his neck broke. Be lightly esteemed. The Ark of the Covenant got taken by the Philistines because something wasn't being kept up in the temple. And when it's not kept up in the temple, it's not kept up in the homes, and Israel was on bad times. I have to say here at the faith issue that there's a song that comes to my mind that I think fits in right here pretty well. It's called Because He Lives. And there's a verse in that song that stirred my heart some time ago. Young people today say, I know things are bad. Why would I want to bring children into this terrible, terrible world? You know, if Israel would have thought that in Egypt, they would have never had the mass of people they had and threatened Pharaoh's reign, right? We need to realize God's got a plan. Sometimes He lets things go sideways so we will get down on our faces before Him. Here's the song's lyric that blessed my heart. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy He gives. But greater still the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because he lives. Isn't that good to know? And if you have faith, you know that no matter what those kids coming into your world really represent to you and your fears and your misgivings, that you can trust that God's got tomorrow. And you can have faith. Secondly, I want to talk to you about hope and the importance of it. Under this heading, I want you to see the purifying effect of hope, the prophetic issues regarding hope, and the protective part of hope. It is in Romans 5 again, I mentioned to you a moment ago, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not just us getting to Him, but Him getting glory. It says, and not only this, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation works patience. Remember what I said a moment ago? Even when it's tough? Yeah, the lights, the right parking place, all the little things going well, and you're just happy in the Lord. You think, thank you, Lord, for having my back on these little things. But then there's a hard time, and you can glory in tribulation. Why? Because you know that tribulation works patience. Patience works experience, and experience works hope. And this is a kind of hope that will not leave you ashamed. And so as you understand that hope is something that is part and parcel of our fabric, when we really are children of God, we understand the goal is to get to the point where hope that maketh us not ashamed is something we want to have. And the words for hope making not ashamed are followed by these words, we're not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now think about that for a moment. Why is it that hope makes me not ashamed? Because when I'm working with God rather than standing at odds with God, in other words, He's asking me to go another level. And sometimes He has to make it hard. He has to let me go through a tight place, a lean place, and I accept that yoke. Listen, you and I need to realize that there is a principle of undulation. That means there's going to be times where it's going to be really hard, but that will pass. It comes, but it will go.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.